that's all you can say after that. Alrighty then. How many of you guys have ever been overwhelmed by someone's goodness to you? I mean, raise your hand. Do you remember, like, the particular moment that happened, or the particular thing that person did for you? I bet you do, because it's hard to forget, isn't it? When you're overwhelmed by someone's goodness. I am overwhelmed quite a bit when I watch people do things for other people and I know the background story. You know, I get the privilege in my position to often know when somebody, for instance, is giving financially to someone else and they really can't afford to. And I just go, oh, yes. And it just overwhelms me that somebody would take from the little that they have and sacrificially give when they really just can't. It's so much better in some ways when you just know what's going on behind the scenes. You know, I've been overwhelmed by people's goodness to myself and to Brooke and I and to our family many, many times. Probably when it comes to stories that specifically are the bigger stories of moments, one comes to mind more than anything else. It was really a crossroad moment for me. It was a life-changing moment for me in terms of the way I live and the way I think about things. Brooke and I had, we were interviewing for jobs all over the country, and to become I was going to become the youth pastor of a church. And we finally boiled it down to North Carolina, a little place called Elizabeth City, North Carolina, Austin, Texas, and Monterey, California. And Monterey, California was on the bottom of our list because we lived in Virginia, and that was a very, very long ways away. And so we flew out to Monterey, California, and long story short, turns out God really just it was just amazing. We just knew that's where we needed to be. So we flew back. We loaded up our lives into a 88 Honda Accord, two-door, and we opened up the doors, and we had two cats, and they were in the two cat baskets in the back, on the back seat. And you know, it was one of those moments where you're about to drive across country with two cats, so you know there is no stopping, parking the car, and going in for a nice lunch, because you've got to deal with the cats. So it was also the middle of the summer, and so we knew this was it, man. I mean, you basically get in the car, and you drive until you can't drive anymore, and then you pull into a hotel that takes pets, which sometimes means you have to drive an extra hour or two out of the way, and then you go in. So we're in the car, we get ready. We're all excited, you know, we cry goodbye to the family. I didn't cry, Brooke cried, but goodbye to the family and hugs and kisses and all that. We get in the car and we take off, and I swear to you, we were not 20 minutes outside of town. We're leaving Washington, D.C., and we're driving down the road, and I just hear this, ka-dunk! And the car goes, ka-boom, ka-boom. I'm like, that's not good. And I pull over to the side of the road, and my wife looks at me and goes, what was that? I'm like, I don't know. All I know is it ain't moving anymore, no matter what you do. So we pull over to the side of the road, and I start the car. It starts, but as soon as you put it into gear and you kind of do the clutch thing, it's just like, the whole thing just doesn't do good stuff, you know? So, of course, this was an emotional time for all of us, and not you guys, but us in particular. And so here we are on the side of the road, and, you know, I make the phone call, bleep, 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 call my dad, and I'm like, hey. He's like, hey, how's the trip going? This is 20 minutes after I just said goodbye. I'm sure he's thinking, wow, they're needy people. And I go, well, actually, can you come pick us up? Because we're on the side of the road with two cats in the back of the car, and the car is broken. So he comes and picks us up, and we take the car. We tow the car back to the nearest place, and it turns out our transmission went out on us. Now, if any of you guys know how that plays out, transmissions come real cheap. You know, you could pick one up on the side of the road for $7-$8 if, you know. No! Transmissions are incredibly expensive items. And so we kind of sat with this option where it's like an 88 Honda Accord is hardly worth the transmission, but we got to get from here to there, and so we need a new transmission. So Brooke and I, going into a situation where it was very, very, very expensive to live, and having worked to make sure that we had it, that we had our finances in order so that we could go into the situation, suddenly faced the reality of having over $2,000 of debt because of a transmission. And then you have to sit back and go, God, seriously. I mean, you're hilarious and all, but can you be hilarious to somebody else, please? Because being hilarious to me right now ain't funny. So we settle into the reality of that. And you know, for us, the reality is that $2,000 at that stage in our life, that didn't equate into dollar signs, it equated into time, you know? That was years of paying off. That wasn't days or months. So now suddenly you've added a burden to your shoulders. So we arrive in Monterey, and we finally get there. And the first Sunday we go to church, first Sunday, Howie, the pastor, walks up to me, hands me an envelope. And he goes, here. And I open up the envelope, and it's a check for the amount of the transmission. And he goes, somebody in the church heard about your story, and they wanted to take care of it for you. You know, I still remember. I mean, I remember it as clear as day, looking down at that check. And again, it didn't equate into dollar signs for me. It equated into freedom, you know? It equated into, you have no idea what that stupid $2,000 does for somebody in our position, how freeing it is and how it changes everything. I mean, nothing is the same after that, nothing, you know? And I remember looking at that check and thinking to myself, even right there in that moment, thinking to myself, I want to do this. I mean, I want to create this kind of freedom for people. I want to be a person that gives everything I have away so that people can hold envelopes and go, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. And really, in many ways, the rest of my life from that point has been marked by that little story. I can't even tell you how many times I think back on that story. I found out a year later who gave me the check. Never knew before that. He was a waiter in Monterey, California. I mean, didn't have tons of money, but had enough and wrote us a check. Great guy. And got to be great friends with him. And I think back on Ernie all the time going, that guy has still no idea. He has no idea how that impacted my life, how that changed me. And so every single time I bump into somebody in need, the Ernie story pops in my head. And I go, what am I going to do? I got to live up to that. I've got to do something about this, because what a privilege to be able to help somebody, whether it's giving my time or my resources or whatever else it is. It doesn't really make any difference. The point is that I get it now. And I get it because of what somebody did for me. Because I've stood on the other side, receiving the freedom of somebody else's burden, cost, for my sake. So why do I tell you this entire crazy story? Because I have been thinking, all this time, I've been thinking, God, what is it you want us to do with this Palm Sunday? I mean, that's kind of what I've been thinking about. Because here I am, it's Palm Sunday. You guys, those of you that were here this morning, you remember what we talked about? I mean, in summary, basically that on this day, on this celebration that we celebrate, the Father, our God, chose his Son as the sacrificial lamb. He selected him. This was the day on the 10th of Nisan, the month in the Jewish calendar and the day in the Jewish calendar, that the sacrificial lamb was selected and to be sacrificed in the temple based on Exodus chapter 10. You remember, this is the day that Jesus entered into Jerusalem, not triumphantly, but humbly on a donkey, to bring peace to humanity, not to the Jewish people, but to everyone. And this was the day that the Father had to sit and had to decide that this was his Son, the sacrificial lamb. Today we celebrate the day of choosing, the day of the gift. I mean, this is it. So I've been thinking all this time, God, what do you want me to do with that? I mean, how is my week supposed to play out this week in a manner that is perhaps different from any other week? Because this day is so significant. It's such a marker. It's such a big day. And as I've been thinking, I mean, even all afternoon, I mean, all afternoon, I said to Brooke when we got home, I'm like, I still don't know what I'm supposed to say tonight, because I don't know what God wants us to do with this exactly. And then as I'm sitting this afternoon, I said to Brooke, I got to go to the video store. Now you go, what? I'm telling you, I get tons of inspiration at the video store. God speaks to me at the video store. I'm not kidding. I walk and I just look at videos, and it inevitably a scene will come to mind for me, because you know me, I love movies. I live through movies, and scenes, they help me. And so I'm walking through the video store, and I'm like, God, what do we do with this? I mean, I am in awe of you. I'm blown away by you. I don't know how I deserve this. I mean, you've given me, I think of that Sweetly Broken song, you know? And I think about the lines in that song, and I go, I don't understand. You paid everything to give me life. What is it you want? I mean, what do I do with this information? And I pass this movie, and I see it, and I'm like, that's it. That's it. In an odd sort of a way. I'll explain once you've watched this scene.
James. Ernest.
Sense of joy that I write to inform you your son, Private James Ryan, is well and at this very moment on his way home from European battlefields. Reports from the front indicate James did his duty in combat with great courage and steadfast dedication, even after he was informed of the tragic loss your family has suffered in this great campaign to rid the world of tyranny and oppression. I take great pleasure in joining the Secretary of War, the men and women of the United States Army, and the citizens of a grateful nation, in wishing you good health and many years of happiness with James at your side. Nothing, not even the safe return of a beloved son, can compensate you or the thousands of other American families who have suffered great loss in this tragic war. And I might share with you some words which have sustained me through long, dark nights of peril, loss, and heartache. And I quote, I pray that our Heavenly Father may assuage the anguish of your bereavement and leave you only the cherished memory of the loved and lost and the solemn pride that must be yours to have laid so costly a sacrifice upon the altar of freedom. Abraham Lincoln. Yours very sincerely and respectfully, George C. Marshall, General, Chief of Staff.
Honest with you, I wasn't sure how I'd feel coming back here. Every day, I think about what you said to me that day on the bridge. I've tried to live my life the best I could. I hope that was enough. I hope that at least in your eyes, I've earned what all of you have done for me.
James. Captain John H. Miller.
Tell me I've led a good life.
What?
Tell me I'm a good man.
You are.
That's a scene from the movie Saving Private Ryan. And if you've never seen the movie, because it's a tough movie to get through, it's a real movie about real war. This mother lost, she had five boys, I believe, and she lost four of them in the war. Can you imagine? And this fifth son of hers was also in the war, and he was in a really dangerous place. He'd kind of jumped out of an airplane with the 101st Airborne, I think, and so they sent this group of soldiers to go and find him to bring him home because the military was not going to allow a mother to lose her fifth son in the same war. So these guys go out, and the entire movie, they're looking at each other going, this is ridiculous. And we're sent out to go and find some punk kid to take him home. What about our lives? And in particular, the leader, Tom Hanks, the entire time, I remember the line so clearly where he looks at them and he says, look, if doing this gets me home to my wife, then I'm doing it. It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter what they send me to do, as long as this gets me home to my wife. And then on that bridge, in that end, he dies. He dies for the sake of this other young man. And do you remember, do you hear what he whispered? He leaned into him and he said, you earn this. You earn what we've done for you. Is that my little voice thingy? So listen to this. Excuse me. I was thinking about that as I walked through the video store today. And I was thinking about Christ, and right when I saw that movie, right when I saw it, this is the passage that came to mind. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. I mean, this is a verse. You probably all know this verse. I wouldn't be surprised if you did. Most of you at least would have heard it. I know it very, very well. But in view of this day and everything that we talked about this morning, this verse just came to life in a fresh way to me standing in that video store. And this is what it says. In verse 1 of chapter 12, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. See, when I read that little verse, I hear the whisper. I do, I hear it. I hear God taking me and drawing me in close. On this day, Palm Sunday, on the day where he was selecting his son for the sacrifice of humanity, and whispering into my ear, Renaud, in view of this act of mercy, in view of what I am doing this day, in view of the pain that I am going through on your behalf, I urge you, give yourself to me. Be a living sacrifice for my sake. And this is how you do it. Stop conforming to the patterns that this world has presented to you, and instead get up on those 2 feet of yours and stand transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will honor me as I present mercy to you. See, it wasn't a call of guilt. It wasn't a call driven in the sense that we're supposed to walk around feeling terrible all day long because God has given us all this and what do we give back to him? It was a call to focus and to remember and then to act. See, it's so easy for me. I don't do stuff for other people out of guilt. I never have. I really never have. I've never written a check or given my time or helped anyone in any way out of guilt because of what I received that day from that check. It is not guilt that drives me. It is wonder. It is the fact that I remember what it was like to receive, and now it is the most amazing thing to me to do the same. And this is what God tells us. This is what God says. He says, it is easy in the Monday through Saturday. It is easy in your workplace. It is easy in your home to forget what I've done for you. I admit, I know that. But in view of this mercy, act differently. That's how you honor me. Jesus said it another way. He said, if you love me, the natural outpouring of loving me is going to be obedience. It is going to be the act of following the things you've learned from me instead of following the patterns built into you by this planet. And so it becomes crystal clear to me. This week, as I think about, God, before I celebrate Easter, how is it that I am to honor you? How is it that I am to change my week for you? And then God whispers to me, Renaud, in view of my mercy, you offer yourself this week as a living sacrifice to me, and you make sure that in any time that you can, you quit conforming to the patterns of this world, and you start living transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'll tell you, I mean, I'm standing here preaching this message right now, and I'll tell you what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, crap. That's exactly what I'm thinking. I just want to be pure and honest with you guys, because tomorrow morning I wake up in a home with 4 small children and a wife who I am called to care for and to love in a manner that Christ says he loved the church. See, I'm the husband in the home. I'm called to give myself away for the sake of my wife. I'm called to set aside all my needs for her needs. I'm called to do everything that she desires and needs without second thought to myself. That's what I'm called to do. Why am I called to do that? Because Christ said, husbands, love your wives as I love the church. And I sit here in this chair and go, Renaud, are you listening to yourself? Because tomorrow, you better act that way, because the pattern of this world says, you meet my needs, I meet your needs. The pattern of this world says, you tick me off, then you face the consequences. The pattern of this world says, I am more important than all of you. And then God whispers to me, in view of the mercy that I have laid before you, you act differently now. And so I go, okay, God, all right. I will walk into my week this week. I'm not going to deal with next week because that's a long time away and I'm kind of stupid and I do things and it kind of rolls. But this week, Palm Sunday, today, in view of what I know you've done for me, tomorrow I will give you myself as best I can. And I will live in a manner that is no longer about the patterns of this world. Turn with me to Philippians real quick, will you? Just a little further on in the Bible. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. So as I stand on the stage, see, tonight's one of those nights. You guys are catching me on a night where God's talking as I'm going, so you got to hang with me on this. I don't usually do this, but sometimes, every now and then. So I'm sitting watching the scene, and I'm thinking all this to myself. Oh, man, God, tomorrow's Monday. I mean, the way I've been treating Brooke yesterday, if it's anything like tomorrow, then I'm in bad shape. You know, because sometimes it's hard, I'll be honest. I mean, you know, it's easy for me to go, well, hold on a second. I mean, she's had strep throat this week, and she's been irritable because of the strep throat stuff, and the kids are driving us nuts, and, you know, I just, tomorrow's a work day. Yes. You know, I mean, that's easy to go there. And then I'm sitting here, and I'm going, and this is what God says to me. I'm sitting here watching the scene while you guys were watching, and God whispers to me. He goes, Reno, turn to Philippians real quick. Did you see me pick my Bible up? I'm like, okay, what's in Philippians, God? And this is what he tells me. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all this. No, sorry, Bob. Or have already been made perfect. But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. You see, on this day, Palm Sunday, on this day that we celebrate, the Father God took hold of us by allowing his Son to be selected as the sacrificial lamb. He reached down from heaven into humanity's heart and said, I will purchase you with my blood. And he grabbed a hold of me. And he said, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Tomorrow is Monday, folks. The next day is Tuesday. This is Palm Sunday. And you and I have the tremendous opportunity, the incredible privilege to walk out of these doors in the power of Christ, in view of his mercy, to say, I will no longer conform to the patterns of this world, but I will be transformed by the renewing of my mind, and I will live differently because of you taking hold of me. And then he says this, all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on the same point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. And verse 16, only let us live up to what we have already attained. I am a follower of Christ Jesus, a man changed forever by his mercy. I am sealed by the power of the Holy Spirit, who is my guide and my protector and my strength and my power. I have every reason, far beyond a $2,000 check, to stand in awe of what my God has done for me. And I'll tell you, I'm not so sure anymore that it isn't a good idea to have my life be driven by the fact that I have to earn what has been given. I love the fact that that man in that movie clip lived his whole life out. Can you imagine? Day after day going, I have to be the best husband I can be. and the best father I can be. I have to handle my money the best way that anyone can. And I have to live in the most honorable way in front of people. And I have to be the best guy I can be, because someday on a bridge where I should have died, men gave themselves for me, and they can't live. But I can, and I will honor their lives by the way I live my life. And I think to myself, that's it. That's it. And so I share this with you from my heart to your heart. This week, as we celebrate this day, Palm Sunday, and the sacrifice that was given to us, and as we prepare for Sunday to come, where we stand up and celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, through which we have life and freedom for all of eternity, may we be driven this week to ask ourselves this question: how will I live to honor all that you are and all that you've done for me, Jesus? What will my attitude be this week? How will I treat other people around me? What kind of a husband will I be? What kind of a father will I be? What kind of a coworker will I be? What kind of a friend will I be? What kind of a daughter will I be? Or what kind of a son will I be? What kind of a person will I be in the midst of struggle and tragedy and difficulty? Or how will I handle the blessings that you've given me? What will I do with my resources and my excess? How will I handle my finances? How will I handle my time this week? What will I do with my life this week so that I can honor you? Because frankly, in view of your mercy, what choice do I have but to present myself to you a living sacrifice and say, you have taken hold of me, so now you do whatever the heck you want. And when I fail, I will not look back, but I will press on toward the goal that has been set before me. And if I fail tomorrow morning and I treat my wife badly, I will stop and I will go, no, I will press on to do it better again. Because by golly, by the power given to me by God, I can and I will live a life that honors him. And so, I give that to you as the call that God has given to me for this week to prepare myself for Easter Sunday, and perhaps to prepare myself for the day that I will stand before him forever and meet him and go, I am here. You blow me away, man. You blow me away, Jesus. I lived my life the best way I could, and I hope it was good enough for you. Just like he stood at that gravesite and said, I lived my life the best way I could. I just hope it was good enough for you. And that's all I want to say. Jesus, I lived my life the best way I could. I just hope it was good enough for you, because you were the only one that mattered to me. May we live that way. Jesus, thanks for your word. Thanks for your life. Thanks for your sacrifice. Thanks for taking hold of me when I didn't deserve to be taken hold of. Thanks for this quiet day that passes year after year, but the day that we celebrate the incredible gift of the selection of the Lamb that would take away the sins of the world. Holy Spirit, I pray now this night for myself and all those in this room that are sitting here and saying, I choose to live for you. I choose to honor you. I choose to be driven every day by the hounding question whether I am living my life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. May you empower us to live extraordinary lives, because we seek to honor you. In view of your mercy, I present myself to you a living sacrifice. In the quiet, just now in the quiet, no looking around or anything, I just want you to take a moment, and if you, like me, go, I want to live that way, then now, in this quiet, in the next moment, in the next minute, you take the time and you tell God that you will present yourself to him as a living sacrifice, and that you will press on toward the goal, and that you will not look back, and that you will not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but that you will be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You tell God that now, and you ask him to show you the way and to keep you strong. Take a minute and do that. Father, we count on you tonight. We count on you because alone we are incapable. So for all those who cried out to you tonight, we count on you. Make us a holy people. In Jesus' name.